And you may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. My word. What a song. I'm so thankful that it is finished. I accidentally brought up one of the cards, had a little girl that gets saved in the last service, and she came down and made it public, and I got to thinking as we were singing that song, I forgot to give it to Miss PK, and I thought, you know what? Living proof of that song just happened just a few moments ago. Right before you came in here, the battle was still raging, but yet Jesus won the war. Amen? And he said, I'm telling you guys, listen, here, just hear me. You do not have to, it's great to, the Bible says to train, study to show thyself approved, and you ought to study the scriptures, and you really ought to get into God's word. But hear me, the moment I get saved, Colossians 2:10 says, I'm complete in Christ. In other words, I have been given everything that I need to thrive in this world today when I got saved. Everything. Somebody says, well, don't you have to wait for the second blessing? Second blessing, I'm on about 1,895,000 blessing. Amen? I mean, come on, guys. I've got the Spirit of God living inside of me. The same Spirit that resurrected Jesus, I've got Him living inside of me right now. I've got everything I need to thrive in this world living inside of me. I've been equipped. You know what? So can I tell you what you need to do? Start bragging on Jesus. Man, brag on Jesus. Everywhere you go, brag on Jesus. Don't mention me. Don't even mention the church. Mention Jesus. Brag on Jesus. And I'm telling you, every one of us, when we leave here today, I don't know what's going to happen at the invitation. One thing you can tell them, you can say, hey, greatest miracle that's ever happened, ever, happened at our church today. I've said this a million times. I'll say it again. I'm telling you, to everybody that was at 9 o'clock when they walked out of these doors, had I stood up here and stuck my finger in a bowl full of water and it split wide open, everybody would have been saying, Pastor can part water. And yet God's reached down out of heaven and saved a little girl. Greatest miracle of all. Greatest miracle of all. We'll get to that more in just a moment. Matthew chapter 28. Man, I love you, Ridgecrest. You are great, great, great folks. I want you to know that. Matthew chapter 28, we are in the middle of our series. And today we're going to be discussing missions. We've been talking about foundations. Jesus is the foundation, and we're building on the Lord Jesus as the foundation. We've talked about evangelism. We talked about discipleship last week. Talked about fellowship. I tell you what was great last week. Miss Bev Palmer came up to me and she said, or sent me an email, and then they said that they ran out after 9 o'clock and 10:30. They ran out of Sunday school material, faith family material, out at the welcome centers and everywhere because so many of you went by there and got information about a small group. I said, hallelujah, amen. I don't know what the numbers are, but we ought to be record numbers today. So many people interested. She said one lady came up after the 9 o'clock service and said, can I help you find a small group? She said, good night. After that sermon, yes. Hey, I said, I'm preaching on tithe today, amen. No, And so, man, people are excited. But we talk about fellowship, getting involved in a small group, man, where people can get together. You learn, you celebrate accomplishments, and you go through heartaches together. I said it's easier to cry when someone's crying with you, and it's a whole lot better to laugh when others are laughing with you. And so we talked about fellowship. Today, two parts. We're going to discuss missions. Remember, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, missions. And the way we're discussing it is two parts. Today, missions locally. Next week, I'm going to have James Copeland with me. And he and I are going to kind of tag team the way I brought Pastor Wayne up here with me. And he talked about discipleship. Well, Pastor James Copeland is going to be up here with me. And he's our missions and evangelism pastor. And we're going to talk about missions nationally and internationally. Let me just go ahead and tell you what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to go ahead and whet your appetite so you'll come back next week, okay? For Christmas, I want every married couple in this room to get one another a passport for Christmas. It's quiet. You say, what do you mean? I don't want you to have the... I don't want... Hear me, guys. I don't want to hear no excuse when we stand up here and we're talking about that we're going to... Ridgecrest is going to actually have the audacity to try to do the Great Commission and make disciples of all nations. I don't want you to have the excuse to say, well, I don't have a passport. Yeah, you are. You're going to get it at Christmas. Yeah. You're going to get it at Christmas. Amen? Yeah. Okay. Grandparents, get it for your grandkid. I'm telling you, dear friends, don't have an excuse for not going. I'm telling you, somebody says, well, there's enough to do here at home. Are you doing it? People that normally say that aren't doing a thing. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is this. Think this way. You got to start thinking with eternity in perspective. If I am aiming at my neighbors, I will, with the gospel, I will never hit the nations. But if I aim at the nations with the gospel, I'm going to hit my neighbors. And so we got to start thinking outside of the box. And so I want you to get everybody in here. I'm telling you, how cool would it be if this entire church was on missions in 2015? I mean, we get on mission locally, nationally, and internationally. We're going to be mission-minded. Why? Because Jesus left heaven, if you hadn't heard, left heaven, derobed deity, put on humanity, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, was buried, and on the third day, we just got through singing about it, rose again for our justification, for our salvation, and ultimately for our glorification. And dear friends, it's one thing for humanity to want to become deity, but for deity to become dust, to become humanity, blows my mind. So he did that for you. And if half the world has never heard about Jesus, why should we be selfish and hear about him twice when they've never heard about him once? So are you wanting a lot of fire under us? A burning bush fire under you. Because I want us to be a church that is on the go. It is on the go. You say, well, I don't see missions in the Bible. Well, I don't see the Trinity either, but I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yes. Amen? Yes. And which, by the way, I see missions all in the Bible. Are y'all with me? I love you. Man, I love the fire. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. It was fun at 9 o'clock. I'm not going to lie to you. We had so much fun just preaching God's word, and somebody asked me one time, they came up to me and they said, why do you say we? You're the only one up there. Oh, no. No. When I stand up from that pew to walk up here, can I just, and I'm not trying to sound spiritual, please hear me, I'm not. But can I tell you what I say? Lord, I will not go up there unless you go with me. You see, if I come up here, it's all about Chad. But if he is with me, I'm going to hide behind him, and it's all about him. Amen? All right. Matthew 28, please stand in honor of reading God's word. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all decision-making power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Father, we love you. Speak mightily during these next few minutes. God, this congregation is so special. God, they're precious in your sight, and they're precious in my sight. And Father, I want them to hear this as I pray to you. As Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus, and he prayed out loud because he wanted everyone to know who was getting the glory, and it's you. God, I want this congregation to know I'm praying to you, Jehovah God, the God that is seated upon his throne, the God that at any minute could look at you, Jesus, and tell you to come get us. That God, I'm praying to you, receive glory today. Let these people know that I appreciate their willingness to sit and to listen to a message that I've prayed over, I've cried over. God, I've literally worked over this message, God, to hopefully let it be pleasing to you. And God, I believe it is. And so therefore, God, I pray that we would put it in shoe leather and live it as we leave here so that you can receive glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thomas Chalmers said this. Every man is a missionary now and forever, for good or for evil, whether he intends or designs it or not. I almost titled my message today. I'm not real big at titling my sermons. I ought to be, but mainly I title it just missions, and it's we're talking about the Great Commission. But if I had to title my sermon, it would be Me, a Missionary? Me, a Missionary? Of course you are. Everywhere you go, you are on mission. Now listen, there's a theology that is going around today that teaches that God predestined some for hell and predestined some for heaven. You say, Pastor, where do you stand on that? Well, let me just answer it to you real quick. If God's love is for anybody, anywhere, then I believe that God's word is for God's gospel and his love is for everybody, everywhere. Let that sink in for a moment. If God's love is for anybody anywhere, then it's for everybody everywhere. You see, when you study that word predestined, it is only ever mentioned about Christians being conformed to the image of Christ. Eternity is never mentioned with the word predestination. It is always about God's conforming his children into the image of his Son. And so I believe that the gospel that we preach, it is for the homeless man on the street, the businessman in the bank, the homemaker at home, and the preacher behind the pulpit. It's for everybody, everywhere, and anybody, anywhere. So your feet may never touch foreign soil, but nonetheless, we are still called to be missionaries in our schools, in our homes, in our church, and in our work. A.T. Robertson said this, "The believer who desires to glorify God must share God's love for the lost world." In other words, we must share God's love for the lost world. Hey, there's two different contemporary songs out today, and both of them use the same lyrics. Here's what it says. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Listen to me, dear friends. You will never love the lost the way you should until you love them the way Jesus should. You know, and so that's why I ask you to pray for me. One of my first sermons I ever preached to you was pray that I will constantly have a burden for souls. It's so easy for me to get into that study, pray, prepare to preach. And every one of you come up here, I could stand up here and preach, and you say, oh, he's doing such a good job. But if I'm not out, if I don't smell like sheep, if I'm not out amongst you and out amongst the lost people, can I just tell you something? I love to preach. But I absolutely love it when I get to share one-on-one with someone about Jesus. That's what God has called all of us to do. I don't do that because I'm a preacher. I do that because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and we ought to share the gospel. So here's what we're going to do. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, I want to show you the first part. Next week, we're going to discover the last two. But the first part, about the Great Commission. What is it? It is the greatest service that anyone could ever hold. It is the greatest service that anyone could ever hold. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I quoted the wrong guy in the first service, but it was actually A.W. Tozer who said this. There are only two kinds of Christians, soul winners and backsliders. Soul winners and backsliders. Billy Sunday, a great preacher of yesteryear, said this, "Let's quit fiddling with religion and do something to reach the world with Jesus Christ." Church family, I want you to pay attention to me. What are you doing right now in your personal life, right now, in the balcony down front? What are you doing right now, right at this very moment, in your life circle, in your influence of friends, in your sphere of influence? What are you doing to reach someone for Jesus? What are you doing? Listen to me. If all I do is preach to you, I'm nothing more but a hireling. I'm nothing more but a hireling. If all I do is stand up here and preach every Sunday and I don't put it in shoe leather and wear it Monday through Saturday, I'm nothing more but a hireling. So I'm praying to God, would you please pray that I don't be a hireling? And I want you to do it as well. I'm telling you, I long for the day that when we give the invitation, you're bringing droves of people with you and saying, I led this person to Jesus. I shared the gospel. Or I brought them to church the last 2 weeks and they heard the gospel and they got saved. Amen. Be Andrews, be Peters, be bringing people to Jesus. Bringing them with you. I watched live on Friday the funeral service of one of the greatest evangelists to ever live. And his name was Freddie Gage. Freddie Gage was an evangelist, and they used to in the Baptist Record, when they would print the National Baptist Record, they would come out and they would have the top 10, and you know, you may not agree with this, but they would have the top 10 numbers of people who were saved by evangelists. And so it would be like, this person had for the last month, he would have, you know, 150 saved, which is incredible. Freddie Gage was always up around 800 to 1,000. It was unbelievable. His son preached for me. His son, Rick Gage, preached for me. His son, Daniel Gage, was our building consultant. But anyway, I say that to say this. Freddie Gage, I called him one day. Now listen to me. He's a hero. I mean, he knows everybody. Adrian Rogers, all the big name preachers. You say, how'd you call him? Because I'm just so dumb enough that when I'm young, I was young in the ministry, and I feel like I still am, which, by the way, I told y'all, our young adult ministry says 25 to 35. That's hogwash. Amen? Anyway, but anyway, I'm 37. I still believe I'm a young adult, doggone it. But anyway, and so I called him. I got his phone number from his son, and I called him, and he took my phone call. Man, I thought it's like talking to the fourth person of the Trinity or something. I was talking to Freddie Gage. Let me tell you what he said to me. Listen to what he said to me. Chad Grayson, Airline Baptist Church, Bossier City. He talked like that. He said, Chad, I got a question for you. I said, yes, sir, Brother Freddie. He said, when's the last time you won somebody to Jesus? First, hey, he didn't, who are you? Where'd you come? Well, where are you from? Are you married? When's the last time you won somebody to Jesus? And then the next question, when's the last time you ever tried? You see, I want Ridgecrest to be about the soul business, because there's no business like soul business. Amen? And I'm telling you, Jesus was about souls. Jesus was about souls. And so how do we do this at work? How do we do this? How do we put it in shoe leather? So what I want to do, I want to show you how to show others to Jesus. Show others to Jesus. Now, let me just go ahead and just... Hey, sometimes I may be a little bit too transparent, but I believe I know we got a lot of guests in here. If I was to ask you to raise your hand, it'd blow your mind. We are getting so many guest cards and stuff. There's so many people visiting our church right now. But right now, the bottom section, it's rather full, okay? I got a message the other day about 2 weeks ago. It was real crowded, just like it is tonight and today in the section. There was a couple that came in a little bit during our song service, and they stood and they stood and they stood, and no one helped show them to a seat, or no one scooted over. And so they started to leave until somebody got up and showed them their seats. And you say, why would you say that to us? Because I'm your under shepherd, and I want you to know this. I want people to know not only they got a friend in Jesus, but listen to me, dear friends, they got a friend at Ridgecrest. I want us to be known as a friendly fellowship, and if somebody comes in, doggone it, give them your seat. Get up and stand if you have to. Now, I got a question for you. Donna, I got a question for you. Does anybody in this room know everybody in this room? Raise your hand. No, nobody in this room knows everybody in this room, right? Then introduce yourself to everybody and find out if they're a guest or not. And if they are, give them your seat. The last, I don't know, do we have plaques on the back of these pews that people don't? And so you can't say, that's my seat. Give them your seat. All right, now I said that because I love you, because there's a lot of guests in here, and I'm telling you, you may be the first impression of Ridgecrest that they see, and I want them to see a picture of what Jesus is at this church. If you're a guest, we exist for you, those who have not yet been reached. So show others to Jesus. He says, go therefore. What does it mean? It literally means to go on one's way. In other words, when Jesus called us to go on our way, he says, I'm not only going to call you to go, I'm going to give you everything you need to go on that way. He said, I'm going to equip you. The word go, you'll like this. The word go is a present participle. You say, what is a present participle? It literally is rendered having gone. So what the Great Commission really says is, having already gone, make disciples of all nations. In other words, watch. This is Jesus just assumed, since he was the God-man and he commanded the ones he redeemed, that he purchased, that he shed his blood for and rose again, the ones that he forgave, the ones that one day he will glorify, he just assumed no one would say no, and they're already on their way. Are we making a liar out of Jesus? Is Jesus assuming something about us that we're not doing? And so, the God who has used a burning bush, a rod, the jawbone of a donkey, an almond tree, and clay on a potter's wheel has now chosen to use you to fulfill the Great Commission. So where do we show others to Jesus? Where is it, Pastor? Where do we show Jesus? Locally. Remember, this is all locally. Where do we show others to Jesus? All right, ready? Number one, home. Home. Ridgecrest, at your home. You're the pastors of your home. Single moms, you're the pastor of your home. Single dads, you're the pastor of your homes. Couples, you're the pastor of your home. It has been said, the light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home. The light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home. If you can be a Christian at home, you can be a Christian anywhere. But if you can't be a Christian at home, you can't be a Christian anywhere. Hey, parents, do your kids look at you as hypocrites because all they see of Jesus is on Sunday of you? Is the only time you even mention Jesus is on Sunday? You see, you've got to be on mission, first of all, at home. That's what we've got to do, dear friends. You can't bring them. So many people have the mentality of, that's what I'm paying y'all to do. I'm paying you guys to go and share the gospel to the nations. I'm paying you to share the gospel with my kids. It would be like me bringing somebody up and say, hey, listen to me. I'm going to pay you to make sure I don't commit adultery. No, I've got to live that life, and I've got to live a life of purity. I've got to live a life of separation. I've got to make that choice. You've got to make that choice. You got to share the gospel at home. And listen, Colossians 3:23, everything you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto Jesus, enthusiastically as unto Jesus, not unto men. Number two, where else do we show others to Jesus? Church. Church. You say, what do you mean? I'm not going to exhaust this list, but I just want you to listen. Church. I'm working on right now, compiling on how many people, how many laymen, that is, people who are not paid, how many of you does it take to make this church operate on a Sunday? And it's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind when you find out how many people it takes to operate on Sundays at this church. I'm telling you, every member needs to be a minister. Every single person needs to be working somewhere at this church and serving at this church. And so just listen to some of these. On Sunday mornings, we need some more people to help. You can do it every week, or you can do it every other week or every month or whatever. We need some more teachers to help in our kids' department, preschool and children. Hey, we need some people to kind of help lead Miss Emma's to the Lord. To help lead Miss Emma's to the Lord. We need people to help during Bible study time. When you're in here hearing Jesus, we want you to go. And listen, you don't have to just be a parent to do that. You don't even have to have kids. Some of the greatest workers I've ever seen in the kids department are some of the godliest women who never had kids, and yet they'll tell me, I've got hundreds of them. Got hundreds. I'm thinking of Miss Barbara Pfeiffer right now, lady at First Baptist Church. Miss Marilyn at First Baptist Church. They every kid they had that's in there, that's their kid. Hey, can you do this? You know what I just did? I just took a picture. You know what we do when we baptize? We take pictures of them. We need people to volunteer to help take pictures back there in the baptistry. And can I tell you something right now? We have fun up there. I'm just telling you some simple ways you can get involved. You say, I don't know what I can do. I don't want to just jump in head first, Pastor. I want to just step into it. Well, come up here and start taking a picture for us. Take pictures. Hey, what shuttle drivers? You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, let me tell you what. We do overflow parking down at Remington's. We need as many as you as possible. And actually, we're going to be strategically putting this thing together. We're going to have faith families, small groups that are going to either every other month or maybe four times a year take that month and park down there, and you'll get the who does. Let me tell you why we do that. It's crowded, and I don't want a guest to put on this parking spot, or a senior adult to put on this place, or a mother with preschoolers who pull on this place. I don't want them to pull up here and have to look for a parking spot. I want them to have prime parking. I said my senior adults, my mothers of small kids, and my guests, I want them to have prime parking when they pull on this parking spot. You say, what about me? Park down there at Remington's. I love you. Hey, listen, we need six people every Sunday to drive that shuttle. Six people every Sunday. Now, Miss PK told me you had to have a special license. I've seen some of you drive. That ain't special. All right. Hey, listen, you need a special license. I'm going to tell you what to do. How do I get that special license? I'm going to tell you how to do that in just a moment. We've got places, Grand Oak Delivery, it's Grand Oak Mission Center on Tuesdays. The Landing, which is for our Celebrate Recovery, it's going to reach out to our teen program, to our students, and it's going to start Thursday, October the 16th. Can I tell you what we're going to do? We need adults to come in. Don't dumb down the gospel to these students. If they're learning calculus and all these other things, I'm telling you, you know what they need to see? They need to see real deal believers is what they need to see. And they need some of you to go to Celebrate Recovery and speak into those students' lives and show them what it means to be an adult who still loves Jesus and can still have fun. That's coming up. We got Celebration Place. It's for helping keep the kids on Thursday nights in Celebrate Recovery. I'm telling you, if you're not a part of our Celebrate Recovery program, it's incredible. It's the largest in the state of Missouri. Did y'all hear me? I didn't stutter when I said that. Our Celebrate Recovery is the largest in the state of Missouri. And it is reaching people for Jesus. It is reaching people for Jesus. Tuesday nights, Dwayne Galt down here, he and several others, they lead a Bible study for bikers for Jesus. You like to ride your motorcycle? You got friends that ride your motorcycle? Tell them you want to ride on by and come by on Tuesday nights and hear the gospel from a biker who loves Jesus. Amen? I just love people who love Jesus. Hey, sound tech. We need people to help run sound. We've got all kind of other things up here. We need help on Wednesday nights. We need... There's just all kind of stuff. You say, Pastor, what can I do to help out? All right, contact the church office and ask for Miss P.K. Hinkle. All right, and she told me to say that. Don't y'all laugh. I'm not just pouring it all on her. Contact Miss P.K. Hinkle. She'll help you. I'm telling you, there is no reason why you ought to come to this church and not be involved. No reason whatsoever. At the church, you can be involved locally. We're going to be doing things to... I've got in my mind right now, I went to a conference and several of these people were talking about something we're going to do. It's going to be called Love Loud. Love Loud. Love Loud. And we're going to Love Loud, the city of Springfield, Greene County, Christian County, all over this area. This Ridgecrest Baptist Church is going to Love Loud, the gospel of Jesus. And we're going to love the least of these. We're going to love the widows. We're going to love the orphans. We're going to love the homeless. We're going to love those who do not know Jesus. We're going to reach out and do it. Love Loud, it's coming. It's coming, I'm telling you. Where else? All right, I'm going to lump these two together because we're almost done. Where else do I show Jesus? Home, church. Hey, students, school, and work. Because there's some of you businessmen in here. Some of you, those of you who work on a regular basis, school teachers, wherever it is you work, you think, how can I be Jesus with skin on, Pastor? Because here's what some people are saying. What is God doing with my life? I mean, Pastor, you get paid to do what you do. It's easy for you to do that. How can I be intentional about sharing the gospel at work? And some research, and it said that the average person that starts working at about 20 years old and works to retirement and works a Monday through Friday job, 40, he's going to work about 80,000 hours of his life. And so if the lump sum of your time is going to be at work, can I tell you something? We need to help equip you to be involved at work on how to share the gospel. So here's what I want you to say. One of the primary places we experience the brokenness of sin is at work. People feel they look at their workplace as either a curse or they look at their workplace as their God. They look at their workplace as a curse and they think, my goodness, I work with Satan. Or they look at it as, I don't work to live, I live to work. Listen to what Proverbs, this just, read a proverb every day. It's 31 chapters. You could read one every day. Read today, Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Listen to this. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? In other words, you go to work with excellence. Which, by the way, look right up here. I'm talking about in your workplace. There's many people who have businesses and they're Christians and they think they ought to get ministry discounts. If there's any place that a place ought to be, you can always be late on making payments. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who won't do business with Christian businesses because they think, man, they never pay their bills. They expect that we ought to be patient with them because they're Christian. No, if there's any place that ought to pay their bills on time and work with integrity and excellence, it's those who claim to be Christian. He says, when you see this, listen to what he says. He says, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before the unknown men. In other words, I'm telling you, when you work in an area, and if you apply Colossians 3:23 to your job, if you will wake up in the morning and instead of saying, oh, it's Monday. I get on social media sometimes on Monday and I'm thinking, is Monday still not the day that the Lord has made? I mean, come on, church. I think Jesus is going to come back on a Monday just to fool some people. But listen, hey, if you'll wake up and go into work with this attitude, you know what? I'm going to go today, and my boss may be crawling me. I may be getting underpaid. It may be the lousiest job in the worst environment. But if you'll think with eternity in mind, an eternal perspective and think, but you know what? Today, I'm going to do this work even though I'm overworked and underpaid. I'm going to do everything I do as unto you, Jesus, and not unto the... Let me tell you what he's going to do. He's going to cause you to stand before kings. He's going to cause you to stand before those who have influence and you're able to share your gospel, share his gospel with those people. But when you go in there and just try to get by, just go in there and just say, oh, let me tell you what it's going to do. It shames the name of Jesus. Few more minutes. Listen to this. This is taken from all kind of sources. 26 practical ways to be Jesus with skin on at your workplace. All I'm going to do is read them. And we're going to make this available. So if you want this, contact the church office. Number one, get to work early so you can spend some time praying for your coworkers and the day ahead. Number two, make it a daily priority to speak or write encouragement when someone does good work. Unless it's only two of you, and if you do that every day, it's creepy. Good job. All right, number three. Instead of eating lunch alone, intentionally eat with other coworkers and learn their story. Evangelism is living life with other people. Number four, bring breakfast once a month for everyone in your department. Are you getting this, church staff? Number five, organize an exercise group before or after work. Number six, start a Bible study. Oh, I was in tears at the 9 o'clock service sitting right there where Renee is. I was in tears thinking of a man named Brandon Jameson. Led Brandon Jameson to the Lord. He's 29 years old. One of the youngest managers of that chain department of a phone making store there in Tupelo. Brandon got saved. He started three Bible studies at his church. He said, Pastor, I don't care if I get fired, man. I'm not called to do this. I'm called to be on mission with his great commission. I'm going to tell others about Jesus. Just fired up. Now listen to me. If you do that and get, I'm not telling you to do that and get fired. I want you to have common sense. But if you do that and get fired, come see us. We'll help you get something else, all right? I'm serious, man. Number seven. Now, don't hear what I did not. I didn't say go out and get fired by telling people about Jesus, okay? Number seven, create a regular time to invite coworkers over out to for drinks. Remember, I got this from somewhere else. Drinks, Cokes, or Dr. Peppers. Number eight, put Christ on the table. In other words, Tomorrow, you're going to have an opportunity to be around people, and they're going to say, how was your weekend? Don't dance around Jesus. Why not say, you know what, man? It was incredible. We sang this song called It Is Finished, and it talked about this battle that was raging. But let me tell you what happened. It was raging in me one day. But you know what? I learned at church that Jesus died on the cross for me, was buried, rose again, and came to live inside of me and forgave me of my sins. I mean, stop dancing around Jesus. Don't talk about football. Unless it's about the Cowboys, can I get a witness? Hey, which, by the way, they play the Sunday night game tonight. Jubilee will be short. But anyway, here we go. Number nine. Hey, come on. If there is another Christian in your office, this is good. If there's another Christian in your office, meet and pray with them to hold each other accountable to the task of bringing Christ to your office. Learn how to share the gospel briefly. What I mean by that is, live it, and if necessarily, share words, live the gospel. But learn, don't just, every time you see, if somebody sees you, they're going to be telling the same old story. Get into the Word of God and share your story. Make it exciting, man, because it is exciting. You say, yeah, but I got saved as a kid, now I'm 50. Praise God for that testimony. Make a list of your coworkers, clients' birthdays or anniversaries. Send a note of encouragement on that day. If appropriate, what is the one thing I will be praying for you about this year? Number 12, make every effort to avoid gossip in the office. Be a voice of thanksgiving, not complaining. Find others that live near you and create a carpool. On the way to work, play Ridgecrest sermons or something. I don't know. Be the first person to welcome new people to the office and school and church. Make every effort to know the names of the coworkers, clients, along with their families. Make a prayer list. Offer to pray on the spot for someone who tells you they are going through a difficult time. Volunteer to clean up after the parties or the nasty coffee pot. Tastefully display Scripture in your office. Tastefully. And I'll explain that later if you need to understand what that means. Keep copies of certain Christian books in your office. When people come in, they see them. Visit coworkers when they are in the hospital. Start life development groups. In other words, Bible studies. Go out of your way to talk to your those who are mostly overlooked. Maybe some of your cleaning people, talk to them. Invite coworkers into service projects that you're already involved in through your church. Organize a weekly forum for local entrepreneurs at a local coffee shop. Lead the charge in organizing others to help coworkers in need. Just practical ways. And we're done. Pastor Travis, go ahead and come on up. Practical ways. And let me tell you how I want to end this. My last point was the gospel spreads fastest around the world. The gospel spreads fastest around the world through businesses. You see, I believe the workplace is the greatest untapped mission field in the world. The workplace is the greatest untapped mission field. Some of you business people in here, I think it's the greatest untapped mission field in the world. You know it's going to be great this year? I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you in 2015. I'm going to challenge you to take at least 1 week of your vacation and give it to missions. That's coming in January. I'm going to challenge you to take 1 week of your vacation and give it to missions at this church. Whether that's nationally, internationally, or local. 1 week, give it to missions. Then go back and talk about it when you get to work. How incredible. You say, I don't know. Listen, it's called living the gospel. Living the gospel. Acts 8:1, it said that, and those who were scattered went out preaching the gospel except the apostles. You know who they were? It's you. It's those of you who aren't getting paid to do what I do. You're doing it because Jesus paid your sins. Paid for your sins. You're doing it. You're living it. The first international mission trip wasn't even by a paid man. It was by a deacon named Philip. Acts 8:36. He goes to and leads the Ethiopian to Jesus, and it says he's on the road, an everyday place where we go. We all do that. I'm telling you, dear friends, listen to me. In closing, this is the invitation. In Luke 14, Jesus tells a story about this rich man who threw a party. Listen to this, he threw a party. You know who he invited? Other rich people. You know why they did that? They did that because that's how they got business. In other words, he invited you to come see me so that I can further my business, so I can get something out of it. Jesus said, when you do that, invite the poor, the lame. Invite those who can't repay you, so when you do that, he'll repay you. Every one of us is throwing a party with our life today. We're throwing a party. Who are we throwing the party for? Are we throwing the party for only those who can do something for us? Are we throwing the party for those who can never repay us, but yet we know that our reward comes from Jesus? I want you to imagine wherever you are, your workplace, your school, I want you to imagine in your hands. Are you giving it to God? Is it God's? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, God, that you showed us in your word that everything we're to do it enthusiastically, with passion. In other words, with every fiber of our being, we're to do it as unto you, Jesus, not unto other people. So God, right now, I know there are people in this church, God, they're struggling with their jobs. They're struggling with their family. They're struggling at school. They're just struggling, God. May you give them a spirit of peace that they have been equipped with every good work to fulfill their call upon their life. Oh, God, please speak to their life. You may be in the balcony. You may be down front. That may be you. You may be a businessman that's sitting there thinking, you know what, I've been operating, I'm telling you, dishonestly. Today, you need to give that business to Jesus. Man, you need to say, God, I want you to take over my heart, change my heart. God, I want to operate with integrity. There may be some of you in this room right now. Listen to me, dear friends. There may be some of you in this room right now. You know what? You're sitting there thinking, man, I'm not even saved. I can't share the gospel. I've never even been changed by the gospel. Maybe you need to be saved. We've got people in the balcony. We're going to be at the end of every aisle in this church. We want you to come see us and say, yes, I need to be saved. You may need to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism the way we had it just a moment ago. You may need to come. Or God just may be leading you to come and join our church. Whatever decision He's leading you to do, listen to me. You need to be saved. Does God need to change your life? You need to come and talk to somebody and learn how to be saved. You need to be baptized? Come. You need to join this church? Just come to this altar. You come. Father in heaven, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand, you come right now.